So today we're going to Numbers chapter 20, and we'll read from verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there, in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. In our travels with the children of Israel, we have come to that episode in their history where it is recorded concerning the death of Aaron. And for the testimony that he left us, I want to mention a few things concerning his life. Things that we have mentioned before as we have followed this history. Some of the successes and some of the failures. And of course, the lovely picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that Aaron left to us in his high priestly role. Aaron means mountain or lifted up, and it is a suitable name for one who began life as a child of a slave but was lifted up by the Lord and became the high priest of the children of Israel and was used to perform by God great miracles and to reveal great truth. The Lord lifts his people out of the slavery of sin. So in a sense, all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are like an Aaron. We have also been lifted out of that slavery of sin. Aaron was the older brother of Moses, and he was younger brother to Miriam. And Miriam and Aaron and Moses are some of the key characters in the story of the children of Israel's liberation from Egypt and their journeys to the promised land of Canaan. Aaron was married to a lady called Eliashiba and had 4 sons to that lady, one called Nadab, one called Abihu, one called Eleazar, and one called Ithamar. When Moses, back in Egypt, was being commissioned by the Lord to be the leader of the children of Israel, he complained that he was not the right person to go and speak to Pharaoh because Moses claimed he was slow of speech. And therefore, God chose Aaron to go with Moses and to be his spokesman before Pharaoh. And indeed, when we read the account of the miracles that were performed and the plagues that came upon Egypt, we usually make reference to Moses, but it was actually Aaron that was the actor, was the one who performed the actual miracle, or indeed brought the plague on the particular occasion. As the history went on, we discovered that Aaron was present on the top of a mountain during a battle that Israel had with the Amalekites. And together with Hur, another leader of the children of Israel, he held up Moses' arms when Moses became weary throughout the day. And as Moses' arms were lifted up in the act of blessing, so the children of Israel prevailed against Amalek. And when Moses' arms drooped, Amalek prevailed against the children of Israel. And Aaron was one of those who held the arms of Moses up until the people had prevailed against their enemies. Afterwards, when the children of Israel camped at Sinai, Aaron was with his two sons Nadab and Abihu and 70 elders of Israel, permitted to accompany Moses partway up into the Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And Aaron and these other men were granted at a distance a manifestation of the glory of God. So Aaron was a man who had been blessed and had been used by the Lord throughout the different episodes of the children of Israel. But then we find that there were some dark periods in Aaron's life as well. When Moses remained in the mountain for 40 days, we are told that Aaron came back, and when he returned to the camp, either through fear or ignorance, he agreed to the demands of the children of Israel to make an emblem of gold in the form of a golden calf, like they had seen worshipped in Egypt. And when Moses returns to the camp, Aaron was rebuked by his brother for his part in this act of foolishness and rebellion. And then Moses interceded for Aaron, not perhaps the first time and certainly not the last time. He interceded for Aaron before God, and Aaron's sin was forgiven by the Lord, which was, when we read the story of the golden calf together, perhaps a great act of mercy, or an act of great mercy, perhaps we should say. When Moses was in the mountain, he had received direction from God concerning the proper method of worshipping him. It wasn't to be with any reference to a golden calf. You see, that's what happens when people try to make up their own religion or their own religious practices. They get it wrong. The very time the children of Israel and Aaron were making that calf, God was instructing Moses as to how he would be worshipped properly. And Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle where sacrifices would be made and where God would meet his people at a mercy seat. And Aaron, for the rest of his life, was to have an important role in this worship. God told Moses to appoint Aaron as high priest and that he would serve and represent the people before God. And Aaron and his sons were consecrated to this priestly office, and they were given garments that they would wear which would set them apart and indicate some of the aspects and elements of this great role, which was not only physical but spiritual. And then we find that at that time, two of Aaron's four sons acted foolishly, and they didn't follow the instructions that God had given concerning their duties in his worship. And Nadab and Abihu, we're told that they offered false incense or strange incense. They tried to approach God by a different way, a way that differed from what he had specified. And they were slain by the Lord. So even although they had had much blessing and they were the sons of Aaron, Aaron knew loss and sadness in his life at the death of these two sons. And all during the wilderness journey of the people, for almost 40 years, Aaron fulfilled the important role of high priest. And then there was an episode when he and Miriam murmured against Moses, in connection with Moses' wife, we are told. And they might have been punished severely by the Lord had not Moses again interceded for Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was leprous for some time, but Moses again interceded, asked for God's forgiveness. Aaron acknowledged his own and his sister's guilt, and they were forgiven. Later, in the wilderness journey, some prominent men tried to displace Aaron from his role, and the Lord's anger slew them and their families. And the next day, judgment fell upon the people of Israel from God, and it was only halted when Aaron went amongst the people and interceded for them. Thousands perished by that disease, but Aaron thereby demonstrated his special role with God as a priest amongst the people. And to further show that Aaron was God's chosen priest, Moses called for each tribe to provide a rod, and God caused Aaron's rod to bud and blossom and bear fruit. And so he established him once again in that high priestly role. And then there was a final incident which was strange, and we made reference to this last week, when Aaron was involved with Moses in the sin of unbelief for failing to sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the children of Israel at Meribah, when water again was brought from the rock. And for their unbelief, neither Aaron nor Moses were permitted to enter into the promised land. And our verses that we read today tell us how Aaron, with Moses and his son Eleazar, climbed Mount Hur on the borders of Edom, and the high priestly robes and the high priestly office was taken away from Aaron and placed on his son Eleazar. And that role of high priest passed to Eleazar, and Aaron died there on the mountain. We're told that he was gathered to his people, which is what that little phrase means, that he died there. And we have seen how frequently Aaron, in his official character as high priest, was a type of Christ. And his priesthood, for all the years that he served in that role, was designed by God to be a shadow of heavenly things. And it was designed to lead the minds and the understanding of the faithful people amongst the children of Israel to look forward to the time when a greater priest and a better priesthood would come. That priesthood, of course, came by the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And here's just a couple of lessons that I want to leave with you from Aaron's life. A couple of little applications which I think, if we remember Aaron, we might also remember these. First is this, that although Aaron was greatly honoured to be a type of Christ in that priestly office, Aaron's life reminds us that he was only a man. He was sinful, he was fearful, he was foolish, and despite many blessings from God, he continued guilty of unbelief. Aaron's life is a reminder to us all that none of us is able to stand before God except that we do so in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because we are all in ourselves, without God, without Christ, sinful, fearful, weak and foolish people. But in Christ Jesus we are saved and delivered from all our failures. Moses interceded for Aaron several times because of his faults, and we need the Lord Jesus Christ to intercede for us. Here's another lesson from Aaron's life. Aaron made some very serious mistakes in his life, and yet the Lord was willing to use that weak man in his service for many years. As we grow up and perhaps have responsibility or take responsibility for a variety of things, we will see in our lives that there are things which shouldn't be there. We will do things that are wrong. And sometimes we will bring shame on ourselves and on our testimony, our witness. However, we learn from Aaron's life that there is forgiveness with the Lord. And I want you to remember that. God forgives his people, and he is gracious and kind to us in our weaknesses. He not only forgives, he restores, and he is pleased to use us in his service despite our lack of belief and our lack of faith. Some of the sins that Aaron committed were truly shameful, but God's grace was sufficient for him. Sin abounded in Aaron's life, but grace much more abounded. And it shows us that no sin is too great for Christ's blood to cleanse. Let us remember that. We may be young, we may have a lot of trials ahead of us, but no sin is too great to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Never imagine that there is a sin too great to be taken to the Lord for forgiveness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And one last point, and then we're done today. Aaron died and was gathered to his people. And this is a great hope of every believer. When our life in this world is over, we go to a better place. We go to be with the Lord, and we are gathered with our people and his people. Aaron maybe thought, I can't go yet. There's still too much to do. But God provided Eleazar to take over Aaron's role. And let us all trust the wisdom and timing of the Lord in all matters of our life and even of our death. We have a great and loving God who is slow to wrath, quick to forgive, and we may be calm and content that our lives and the days of our lives are well cared for in his hand. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.